Ladies and gentlemen, live from Fontana's in downtown New York City, welcome to tonight's Comic Book Club. And now here are your hosts, Alex Zalman and Pete LePage.
Hey!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And thank you so much to Tom in the booth.
Yeah, Tom. And Jordan D. White.
Yeah, Jordan D. White on announcing our guest, who we'll get to in a second.
Right.
All very exciting. But that's the last happy thing that's going to happen in the show, Pete.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the last happy thing because it's all death and destruction from now on.
Yep.
We thought last week was our last show in Fontana's. Turns out this week is our last show at Fontana's. So surprise. But after that, it's all over. We're finally free.
No, we're not
free. It's the last Comic Book Club show. We're totally done. Finally free of this burden. The curse has been lifted.
Eight and a half years ago,
we found an ancient Indian amulet. And the ghost cursed. Is this racist? Am I getting a little racist now?
Okay, you lost things have me changed. Ancient Indian amulet. I think that's when it got real.
Things have changed so much since we started the show. When we started the show, we could be as racist as we wanted.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Eight and a half years ago.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Three white guys starting a podcast wasn't weird.
Yeah.
But now it's super weird.
Weird.
Yeah, now it's weird.
Now it's weird.
But it's not our last show ever.
No, it's not.
But
it kind of is. I mean, let's be honest. Well, I'm out of here. Justin's not here.
That's true. Yeah. Great timing on his part.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, maybe Justin should be kicked out of the show.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should take this as a sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, wrap it up.
Yeah.
Is crazy, actually. We're already running a little late on the show, but we have, I would say, about 45 minutes to wrap up all the dangling plot lines for the past 8.5 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Justin
have to get Jedi divorced.
Right.
That's sure. That has to happen.
Yeah, we got to find out what happened to my baby.
Yeah, exactly. That's all.
Really have a lot of plot lines, to be perfectly honest. So all good. But you know who does have a lot of plot lines, actually, is our guest, who's one of the busiest men in comics. We're very excited to have him here, as well as one of the busiest editors in comics. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan D. White and Joshua Williamson!
Yeah! Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello.
Oh, welcome to the show.
Hello. What's going on, guys? I'm very excited to have you here, as always.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
Josh, I assume you're in for, pizza, bagels?
The pizza in New York is worth the trek.
Yeah,
bagels, great. For sure. I'll come back with like a suitcase full of bagels. But yeah.
Great. So you're in for New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Charles Soule about this the other week.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that this is not a great time for him, that this is the most insane week of his entire year. How is it for you coming in from out of town?
I think it's a little different because I can kind of separate stuff a little bit, you know, coming out of town. I can kind of make it a little more like I'm here just for this thing. And, you know, I can kind of separate a little bit, for me at least. And I think if you live here, people come to your house more often. You know, like there's a lot more going on. People think because you're a local, that means that you're going to be like their guide. Yeah. Like when I lived in San Diego, it was the worst. You know, I would have 10 artists sleeping on my floor like every year. And, you know, it was chaos.
They're gross. Artists are gross. what do you have planned? What are you most excited about at the con?
Oh, man, good question. I don't know. I like to look around at stuff and just kind of walk around by myself and look at comics and kind of see what's coming out, see some of the new things. There's actually a lot of comic books coming out this week, so I'm going to, like, try and find them on the floor.
There's a ton
there's a
of
lot.
Books coming out this week.
Yeah.
Such a weird coincidence.
What's always kind of funny now, whenever I go to a convention now, the hardest thing for me to find is new comics.
Yeah.
Like, whatever came out that week.
Sure.
I'm like, isn't there just, like, one booth that's like, this is what came out this week?
Midtown does it,
I
think.
Say Midtown.
Yeah, Midtown usually has a rack.
Then I'll know. Well, I have tomorrow, too. Tomorrow is a Wednesday. I could go probably. There are comic shops in New York, right?
You can go to the actual Midtown Comics.
Yeah,
there's
so
one.
Figure it out.
There's just one big
it's
one.
There's just one big one?
Oh, okay. It's actually just a guy named Jimmy who sells comics. And it's actually just old Archies. That's it. It's Archie Double Digest. Yeah. So that's all you can get. You, as we were saying, are one of the busiest mans in comics. Busiest mans. That's definitely.
I am very busy.
Phrase. You're doing a ton of stuff. You got right now. You have Nailbiter.
Yep.
You have Birthright.
Which we love.
Ghosted, which we also love.
Ended. Over, but
it's over.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you working on?
I'm working on Illuminati for Marvel.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then I have some other secret stuff that hasn't been announced yet.
Are there announcements this week or no?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to pull out this card too early, but this is our last show here at Fontana's, which is basically like we're dying.
Yeah.
And our dying wish is that you break some news on the show.
I was here on this show 2 years ago, and I swear that the show 2 years ago was your last show here.
So let's talk about Nailbiter.
Yeah, Nailbiter.
Well, actually, this is a greater thing. I was thinking about this on the way over to the show. I was trying to think of a non-stupid way of phrasing this, but I do think there's a very interesting thing you do with your books, which surprisingly not a lot of people do.
All right, let's hear
which
it.
Is having a very clear concept going in.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not necessarily, hey, I got this world that I want to explore, though you definitely have that. It's not necessarily there's this backstory, though there's definitely that. But there's always like it starts with a clear hook.
Yeah, I try to make it so it's very clean from the very beginning.
Yeah, so how do you approach that? How do you approach that hook? Let's use, say, Birthright as an example.
Because I thought that's how it was supposed to be. You know, like I was always kind of told that that's how it should be. Me and my friend Dennis, who wrote Eve or Extinction on the taxi ride over here, we were talking about that with books.
Hi, Dennis.
Where some books.
Hey, buddy.
Hello.
Some books, you get like two or three issues in, and then they're like, oh, this is what this comic is about.
Yeah.
To me, when I worked at a comic shop back, you know, I worked at a comic shop for 10 years.
Nice.
One of the shops I worked at, we had a lot of people who came in that were kind of in comics or worked in comics or worked in media of some form or another. And there was one guy who came in who worked for Variety in like some kind of like Hollywood section or something, right? And he came in one day and we started talking and I'm like, I want to write comic books. You know, I want to be a writer. And
he was
like,
well, you were five at the time.
Yeah. And he's like, well, tell me one of your ideas. And I started telling him my idea. And within 10 seconds, he was like, you're fired.
Wow.
And I was like, holy crap. He's like, that's how it really is. You need to be able to explain it in one sentence. And so after that, I was like, if I can't explain it in one sentence, then, you know, it's over. So ever since then,
and that man was Steven Spielberg.
I don't know what that guy's doing. But yeah,
you ever read Save the Cat?
They talk about that
in Save the Cat.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote that book always says you should practice your pitches on random people in coffee shops. Just go, let me just tell you something. And you just tell them the sentence of the idea and see if they
What's out with Nailbiter?
Do you think if anybody came up to you at a coffee shop and was like, hey, real quick, I have a pitch for you, you'd be like, well, I'm open and receptive to that. You'd be like, no!
If it was you, your first thought would be like, does this person know who I am?
I'd be like, I can't legally listen to your pitch.
You'd instinctively be like, like the moment they start talking.
But
I
don't want to badmouth anybody in the industry, but we were actually just talking about a comic book like that that has a big, strong, high concept, but that the first issue of the book, we read the first issue of the book, and we were like, that high concept doesn't show up in the first issue of the book. And we were like,
was it Deadly Class?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that always bugs me. It bugs me when you promote a book as something. Everyone knows this is what this book is about,
right.
And they promote it constantly. And the twist at the end of the first issue is everything they told you already.
Right.
And I'm like, I knew that. That was kind of what the title of the book is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm aware. And I think that's why The Last Man works, because... So I have this theory that, like, your hook shouldn't be your twist, right?
Okay.
There has to be two separate things. And so you look at Why the Last Man, the hook was the title. He's the last man, right? We know that going into it. You know what the book's about. You know the men die. The twist was the whole thing about him and Beth and him proposing to Beth or about to propose to Beth.
Right.
And her about to break up with him. That's your cliffhanger. That's your emotional grab, because you're like, well, I knew this was about all the men dying. I knew that going into it. But I didn't know this part, and now you want to know what was Beth going to say.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You know, and so that's always the things I try and do. So with Nailbiter, you know, I went to Nailbiter with, like, and I would do that. I would go to people, and I'd be like, oh, it's about this town in Oregon where 16 of the world's worst serial killers were all born and raised. And you could see the looks on their face of fear, because they would always say the same thing. Is that true? Is that real? And I'd be like, oh, yeah. And I would go, and you could see them just like, you know, and then I'm like, oh, I'm fucking with you. But that sounds good, right?
Yeah.
That sounds good, so we should do that. And so I always knew that going into it, but for a long time, and this was a thing where, you know, nobody got rejected by a couple publishers before I am going to Image with it. And I'm glad they did, because them rejecting it actually helped me figure something out. Like, you know, I was realizing I didn't have the twist yet. I knew the hook, and I could always give you the, you know, the basic premise of it, as you said. Like, you get it all in the, you know, the first 8 pages. You know what this book is about. Now it's on me. Because it's like, that's the thing. I think it's interesting how now people don't normally go into things completely blind. They know something. They know the title. They know solicitations. They know advertising. They know something of it. Or their friend said, oh, hey, you got to read this. It's about this, right? So you basically need to recover that in the first 8 pages And then everything else after that needs to be something else, blowing their mind, some other kind of thing to twist their expectations, something. And so that was the thing with Nailbiter was I couldn't figure out what that thing was for a long time. And then I finally figured it out. I'm like, you know, all these serial killer stories, that main serial killer, a big part of their story is keeping their secret, right? No one ever finding out, not knowing they're a serial killer. But with Nailbiter, I was like, oh, well, if the world already knows Warren's a serial killer, then that's out already. Like, we all know that. Now the story is about what happens after that, which people don't really cover. It's always the, now everyone knows he's going to prison. That's the end of the story. It's like, this is that next thing. And that became my twist in Nailbiter, and that helped me out a lot with that story. But to answer your question, yeah, it's always on my mind. Like, anything I'm working on, I'm always trying to figure out that thing.
What's the I was just going to say, it's interesting that you brought up Brian K. Vaughan. I didn't necessarily want to call it out, but Birthright in particular, reading that issue, I was like, This is a Brian K. Vaughan first issue structure, and not to give him all
I study
the
him a lot.
Yeah.
I study his first issues a bunch and look at his pitches and his thought process on things. And I've talked to him about it. Like, we've had the thing I told you about Why Last Man, him and I have had like long conversations.
Oh, that's cool.
About it. It was really nice. I had this whole conversation with him about the first issue, like more so than what I just said. And I was just ranting like a madman, you know? And then by the end of it, he was like, "That is exactly right. You got it." And I was like, "Yes,
holy shit!"
Yes.
I was going to say, "Why would he let you rant like that?" But if you're right, I guess.
Well, he knew who I was at that point, and he likes Birthright. He likes Nailbiter.
Oh, okay.
One of the best comments I ever got was the Bendis issue of Nailbiter. Was after it came out, Brian K. Vaughan was like, "Man, you really got Brian. Like, you nailed it. That was exactly how Brian talks. That's how he is." And I was like, "I know. I was so happy." It was very nice.
Cool. So you got those two going on. You got a bunch of stuff in the future.
What's the I was gonna say, what's the hook for Illuminati? Has it been
revealed
yet? You're
gonna ask me that question.
Of course.
I'm not sure if I can really talk about it too much, but okay. I mean, essentially it's you know, the Hood. The Hood is trying to build a new Illuminati of villains to help them upgrade and be better villains.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Cool.
You know, because that's the thing. You look at the Marvel Universe, and it's always kind of bugged me. I've always been fascinated by the motivations of villains in any universe, but mostly the Marvel Universe. As I say that, you go back and you look at Spider-Man versus Superman, where Doc Ock and Lex Luthor.
Okay, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, for a second I was going to be like, I think you are getting that wrong. Superman and Spider-Man are a different universe.
I know, but this is what brought it up to me. You know, there's the whole thing where Lex keeps telling Doc Ock, "I'm going to pay you money, help me blow up the world." And at some point, Spider-Man's like, "Doc, you're aware that if he blows up the world, that money means nothing." And that's when Doc Ock is like, "Oh, yeah," and he helps them win. And then, of course, Lex is mad, and I'm like, "You're both idiots."
Yeah.
You know, like, come on, you're a doctor, you're a PhD, and you didn't figure out that there will be no money, there's no planet. And so I've always been fascinated
on
that.
He's not an economist.
That's true. It's true. But so I've always been fascinated on the motivation of villains and how they don't always see eye to eye on things. You know, not all villains are united. So it's like, you know, I wanted to kind of play with that, with those ideas. And so the Hood is sort of looking at it from that perspective of, you know, we should do better. You know, we're looking at people like Thanos, who wants to destroy the world. That doesn't do anything for us. Doesn't help us. So we need to find ways of fixing it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Hood is a Brian K. Vaughan character too, right?
Yes.
This is getting creepy.
You want to talk about a theme? We can talk about some themes.
Yeah,
but,
real quick, this is actually a little bit of background. You don't know that conversation he had with Brian K. Vaughan. He was perched on his chest while Brian K. Vaughan was sleeping. So.
Oh, it was me?
Yeah, it was you.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm just making sure you're clear
like
on that.
Like a cat sucking his breath out.
I have my favorite perch over his bed. He has this really nice, anyway, but yeah.
Nice. Cool. Jordan, you also probably have a fair amount of prep going into New York Comic Con. What's it like in the Marvel offices right now?
It's very busy. Well, we actually put out 2 weeks worth of books to send to the printer last week in order so that we wouldn't have to send anything to the printer.
So you're just relaxing?
Nope. still doing a million things. Definitely have some announcements coming up at the show that are going to be very exciting, both for Star Wars stuff and other stuff. Actually, we just announced something today. Can I talk about really quick?
Yeah,
I think you can. Pete, in particular, I know, is very excited about this announcement. It has no problems with it whatsoever.
Yep.
So,
which is great.
November will bring about a new Deadpool number one, which is pretty great. And
that's great news. All right, let's move
on. There's a little bit more.
Okay.
Just given the background. This is the background.
All right.
Jerry Duggan's doing it. Mike Hawthorne is drawing it. It's going to be super great. We just announced the Deadpool secret comic variants, which are going to be running on the first 20 issues of the new Deadpool series. The idea is 20 variant comics over the course of 20 issues, each being a page of a secret comic. Buy them all, you have a 20-page comic.
Oh, you're an asshole. You're an asshole. That is bullshit. That is absolute bullshit.
Here's my question. Can somebody just buy those covers, or is there an incentive program?
They're not incentive. So you can just if you just talk to your comic shop and say, I want to get the secret comic variant, they should be able to pre-order it for you. No incentive.
What?
Is it going to be more expensive?
That's up to the comic book retailer. Retailers price the variants themselves, so it's hard to say. But like I said, there's no incentive.
That's a yes. It is more.
No. They're not like one for 20 or anything like that. You can say, I want one, and they should be able to buy you one. The secret comic is written also by Jerry. It's drawn by Scott Kovlish. It's crazy. Oh. It's insane. I called them up with this idea, and they were like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Did they structure it for reading it over the course of 20 months? Or is it one cohesive comic?
No, I mean, you can read... It's not like each page is, like, wholly independent. Like, not at all. It's definitely a 20-page story. But they wrote it in such a way that you can look at the page and go, okay, that's fun. Like, that was a fun page. The first two pages are up on comic book resources, although they're censored, so you can't see everything that happens. Because you have to get the comic.
I did right. Look at them. They look gorgeous.
They were a lot of fun.
I was very angry at you, and then I looked at them. I was like, fuck, I got to get these.
This is getting way too wonky and businessy, and I'm sure you can't actually talk about this. How did you do the page rate for that?
I cannot talk about that, but it was complicated.
Yeah, I'm sure, because it's a cover rate, right?
But it's very complicated.
Okay. I have so many questions. So did Scott... Is he doing all 20 pages in 1 month,
or
did you bless this man with one page a month for 20 months? Like, at least I have that one job. I have that one page.
He did 5 pages all at once, and then he stopped doing them because he's also doing other books for me.
Right. Okay.
So he did those 5, and now he's doing another book, and then he'll do another 5 probably, and then he'll do another book.
Man, if I was a retailer, I would be like, all right, fine, I'm gonna go ahead and do, you know, cover price for everything except the last one. like $50.
What retailers should be doing is they should make sure to buy extras and then put them aside and sell them in sets when it's over.
Yeah, it's true.
Did you guys at any point at all entertain the possibility that you could get canceled at issue 12?
Yes,
and what happens?
It is, dude, it's Deadpool. I'm sorry, Jordan. It's Deadpool. I'll let you finish. Oh, it's Deadpool.
Movie comes out in what? February? Something like that?
Cannot wait.
Yeah, movie comes out in February. Maybe everybody sees the movie and is like,
That's not going to make any difference.
I'm over it. It's good.
Listen.
You know that's not going to happen.
This is a very real risk. And that's why anybody who buys these should make sure to buy lots of copies to make sure
fuck
it sells.
You. Hey, are you worried about how evil you're getting? Does that bother you at all? Are you having problems sleeping at night?
No, I'm doing good.
All right.
Deadpool is very current and very topical. Oh, are you worried at all about making like Rachel Dozell jokes 20 months from now?
Yeah, that's a real risk. I never thought about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got to think about this stuff as a comic book editor.
We'll tell people when we wrote it and say, immerse yourself in the culture of like a month ago when you read this. Like,
sure.
Immerse yourself.
Yeah. Think back. Neil Patrick Harris's Best Time Ever premiere. Cool. Well, you also have a ton of other stuff going on. You're working on 450 Star Wars books at the same time right now, something like that.
We've got a whole bunch. I think 4 come out tomorrow.
That seems a bit much.
Star Wars, Darth Vader, the last issue of Lando comes out tomorrow, which is so good.
Yeah, Lando.
Star Wars.
Did you stick over the Landoing?
Oh boy.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'll see myself out. Thank you.
I hope people like the last issue of Lando. I really like it. It's got a twist. I think it's pretty great.
Okay. And, is the twist you have to buy variants?
Oh, man. You saw it already? Star Wars, Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire, number 2 comes out tomorrow as well. And then we've also got the Kanan series. So, yeah, we got a lot of Star Wars. Plus, like I said, there's definitely going to be at least one Star Wars announcement for comics at the
Pentagon. All right, give us a hint. Just a little hint.
It involves...
Star Wars.
Jedi.
Okay.
All right.
That makes sense. Makes sense to me. Have you? You're now what, a year, a couple of months down the road in the Star Wars books?
Yeah, we started in January.
Yeah, started in
releasing
January.
Them anyway. Yeah.
How are you feeling about it now? Like, I know it was a crazy announcement right at the beginning of the year, or at
honestly,
least getting into it.
I am kind of amazed at how great they're doing. I knew they were going to be awesome books, but I did not anticipate that they would still be doing so well this far into the year, that they'd still be right at the top of the charts every month. And it is amazing. It feels great because, again, they're books I'm so proud of, and I knew people would love them, but I didn't know for sure that everybody would love them, and everybody loves them, and that's awesome.
That is really
awesome.
Good. Whose idea was it? I emailed you about this when it came out, but whose idea was it to do the last page thing where it was Darth Vader on one side broke the glass, and then in the other issue, it was the other side of the glass?
I'm trying to remember who wrote the issue first. I think Jason wrote his issue first. Mm-hmm. So it probably would have been Kieran's idea to do the reverse, although yeah. I'm trying to think if he wrote it in the script or if maybe Salva just did it when he drew it.
Oh,
that's
so
a really
good
question. I'd have to double check.
I read those
both
back to back and was like, yeah. That was really smart.
That was a big thing. We were like, yeah. Those two issues have to come out the same day. Star Wars 6 and Darth Vader 6, because they come together and they both mm-hmm. end at like the same place.
Yeah, so. the same emotional beat for Darth Vader.
Yeah, it really yeah. seems like you know what you're doing.
I do my best. And yeah. you have to buy 20 variant covers to get the secret comic variant.
Now that you are more comfortable with the Star Wars comics, when are you bringing in the Green Bunny dude from the original Star Wars comics?
Never. Jackson is not coming back.
Never what? Say never.
He's not.
This is garbage.
Back,
comics are garbage. They've sold out. Marvel is just all about selling comics now.
Technically, we put him on a variant cover for the first issue, so
oh,
you should
search
eBay. Okay. You'll be able to find it.
I'll That's search funny. My feelings. Cool. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Books.
Here we go. Very last stack we're ever going to do, Pete.
Man.
This is it for
this
the stack.
It.
Last
this
comics we're going to remove review.
Hey,
I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, first one let's talk about. I don't know why we're talking about this because Justin's not here, but let's do it anyway. Sandman Overture.
Yeah.
Last issue from Vertigo Comics.
Oh, last issue.
Yeah, last
issue. I also look forward to when we can talk about where Justin has been. I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah. That's not related to anything else we've been talking about on the show so far.
It's not related, especially not to what Jordan D. White does.
Absolutely not.
All right. Cool. So anyway, Sandman.
Yeah, what'd you think of this?
Well, first off, the art and the pages and the panels.
Yeah,
it's
really nice.
It's just magical. It's really... Sandman is such a kind of escalated thing to talk about because it's, you know, it's regarded as such an amazing thing. So when you get something new, you're kind of like, oh God, I hope this doesn't hurt what they've already established. And they've been doing such an amazing job with this book. And it's so beautiful and so well written that it's just, it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic.
I mean, it's great. This shows you how you could do a prequel the right way, essentially, I think. Jordan, you disagree?
Oh, no. I just, honestly, it's an amazing book. I'm sure I will love it when I read it all at once. But, like, right now, it goes so long between issues that I totally forget what's happening.
Sure.
And I go, what? What's going on?
I will say this issue in particular suffers from that. If you guys haven't been reading it, it is a prequel to Sandman, but it touches on themes and ideas from Sandman. This issue is wrapping it up and tying it up to the first page of the original Sandman comic book, which is really cool. It works way better than I thought it would.
Yep.
It's great. It's really good. That's it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's move on with something that's coming out tomorrow, so we're not going to spoil anything about it, Pete.
Thank you for
Batman and
me.
Robin Eternal, number one, also from DC Comics. So, Pete, you loved the free comic book day preview of this, or Batman Day preview, excuse me.
Yes, I did.
What did you think about this issue?
This was really great. It's hard to understand everything a little bit, but it's very intriguing.
Is it hard to understand everything because you flipped through it really quickly right before the show?
Nope, that's definitely not it.
All right, just checking.
Fuck you for saying that.
This is my last chance to sell you down the river, Pete.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking
before we die at the end of the show.
Yeah, I just think that they've been doing such an amazing job lately with Batman, and it just keeps going. I keep waiting to be like, all right, well, eventually Scott Snyder's got to make a bad move, right? I mean, come on. I mean, this guy is just fucking killing
it. Jeez, that's how you think about the comic?
No, I mean, like, it's just constantly amazing.
Yeah, that's whenever anything is going well, I'm like, when is this guy
like, when are we going to...
Come on.
I mean, the guy's
got to
be
already.
Human, you know, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
Jesus Christ, fuck it up.
Some choices.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's
like Donald Trump's presidential campaign.
When
is that guy going to make a wrong move?
Oh, man. I'm not even going to... Too political?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, this comic's great. Definitely pick it up.
So this is the new weekly?
This is the new weekly, and it's, again, like the first one, there's no reason this should really work, but there's so many characters in the Bat universe. They're so well-defined. One thing that I'll point out that I really liked about this issue in particular, Tony Daniel, spoiler, is drawing all three of the Robins together, and they all have ever so slightly different facial structures, which I know is such a weird thing to point out, but I feel like often people draw them as clones at slightly different ages.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Here they actually look like different dudes, and they act like different dudes, and it's great beyond the story itself. There's some really good twists here. There's new stuff with the Batman mythos and mythology that you're not expecting.
Yeah, it's got a heck of a last page, that's for sure.
If this isn't a spoiler, who's Batman in it?
It's current continuity. So it's Commissioner Gordon is Batman. Okay. Bruce Wayne's memory is totally gone, but Batman, as we know him, might also somehow exist in this book.
What? For a second, I thought you were doing the Night Court.
I don't know what I was doing. All right, let's move on to the last comic we wanted to talk about. This is one of Pete's picks, Savage Dragon.
Well, it's because it's honor of Jordan D. White.
Don't sell yourself out. You're a huge fan of Savage Dragon. You were telling me before the show how you loved every single plot point in this book.
That's not true.
You turn to the second page, you're like, look at this. This is genius. Part of the book.
Is Justin here right now?
It's so great.
Here's the deal. You're making fun of Pete. You could say all that about me. This is a great issue. I love this.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Seriously, dude.
I was trying to help you out.
I was trying to fucking help you out, Jordan White.
What did you like, Marvel, for Christ's sake?
Hold on.
Let me talk about this.
What did you like about this? Did you like the part where it opens up with a small red demon fucking a girl on an alien planet full of dead bodies?
He is not a demon. I'm offended that you said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's a guy called Mr. Glub who's a foot tall.
That's his nickname.
Yeah.
All right.
What's his real name?
Let me talk about it. His real name is Bagoom. So Savage Dragon is a comic I absolutely adore. I've read it since the beginning. I've read every issue probably multiple times. It's crazy, and it's fun, and it is the work of one guy's brain the entire way through, so he can do whatever he wants.
Perverts.
Anyway, well, okay, I'll get to that specifically. I want to talk about that. Let me just talk about this character, Bagoom, and why I love even this issue that you discussed to you all. Because one of the things I love about Savage
Dragon... And I just want to frame this in. This is the guy who's editing Deadpool comics and Star Wars comics. Yeah. So just keep that in mind.
Well, he's in charge of some of the big titles.
First of all, Deadpool is perfectly in line with this comic.
Sure.
Wow.
But one of the things I love about Savage Dragon, and I've tried to bring to Deadpool as well, is the idea that...
Don't you dare.
Little red men can have sex with women. No, that's not the thing. It is that you can introduce things that are jokes, and then you can go, even though that was a joke, I'm still going to allow it to have serious consequences and screw everything up and be crazy.
Well, when you say it like that, sure. But then when you open up the first page...
No, so hold on. Let me set up Bagoom. Bagoom is a character, Mr. Glum, that started sometime right around the early 100s of Savage Dragon. They introduced him in an issue that the setup of the issue was Eric Larson just messing around going, I'm going to do every page of this comic like it was a newspaper comic strip, like a gag strip where there's a joke at the end of every line. Okay. And so he introduced this character who was a evil interdimensional overlord from another dimension who is like, I will come to Earth and take over the world and destroy Savage Dragon. And he comes to Earth, and he doesn't realize that he's only this tall when he comes to Earth. He's like a tiny little 2-foot guy. And he shows up at Savage Dragon's house, and Savage Dragon's like, oh, that's a cute toy. And he gives it to his daughter, and he doesn't take him seriously
at all.
Wait, I'm sorry. The daughter that he's having sex with here, yes.
Oh, okay. All right, great.
So again, there's a bunch of issues where he's a totally comic relief character, and it's funny, and you don't take him seriously. And then eventually Eric Larson comes along and goes, oh, by the way, he's still an evil guy who's killed millions of people. And then he literally takes over the planet, becomes horrible and awful, kills lots of people, and now, years later, has kidnapped Savage Dragon's daughter, and she's grown up a lot since then. She is
sure.
Well, she's had a bunch of threesomes with her brother.
No, that's
the past
a different.
Couple of
that's
issues.
A different Savage Dragon's daughter.
Oh, right, that's the alternate universe.
That's the alternate universe.
Savage Dragon's daughter who's had threesomes with her brother.
Right.
This is just the one that's having sex with her
not
toy.
Not her actual
childhood.
Brother. Her adopted brother. Come
oh,
on.
Oh, that's okay then.
Yes.
Cool. What the fuck just happened?
These are plots in the book, man. These are plots. These are real things right. that happen. Oh. It's all part of the drama.
Yeah.
No. So this issue is an unusual issue in that it doesn't. It actually,
Savage Dragon's not in
it
this
does
issue.
A thing that I usually hate, but I actually think works for this issue, which is, this is going to be a big spoiler. The cover of the comic is the thing that happens on the last issue of the comic.
Oh, that's
last
a pet peeve of
comic.
Yours, though.
I, what?
It's a pet peeve of yours. You hate it, right?
Yeah, I
it's
hate
shitty,
when people do that.
It's a shitty thing.
Because it's like... It's,
you ruined it. It
well, yeah. Because it says, like, that's a reveal. Like, you can't right. put that...
That is up. The cover.
But the reason I think it works here is because I think... It's like a joke. It's like a gag. It's like
the reason you
you're expecting Savage Dragon in this comic,
you
and you read it, and you're like,
Savage
"There's
Dragon
no Savage
as a
Dragon
kid
here.
And you haven't gotten past it.
Well, that's what Savage Dragon. I think
we need to let it go,
for teenagers. But
I think it works here.
I don't under, that is. The,
it is almost the exact same the image. Cover. It is almost the exact same.
I know
image.
It's not exactly the same, obviously, but I want to be like Eric. I could have saved you a page. Like
you could have just put
you
the cover
literally
there.
Do this on the cover, and you could have just put it right back in.
No, but I think it works there because it's like a gag. Because you're expecting right. Savage Dragon to show up any minute, and he never does. And then finally he shows up.
Yeah,
again,
so
you're like,
also
where
what
was the comic?
I thought was a gag was that first page where you just see grunting noises.
You think
and you're like, oh,
murder.
God, please don't let it be what I think it is. And then you turn the page, and you're like, oh, great.
They're having... Listen, I'm not supporting... The actions that they're taking, they are
I'm
sick
not,
and terrible characters.
Here's the thing.
They are literally having sex on a bloody battlefield.
I'm not a prude, right?
No.
I'm not a prude.
He's got two
speaking of plot lines, like there's a long-running plot line of the show that you are like a bi-perverted comics. People make fun of you for it.
Yeah,
that's
you know.
True. Well,
listen,
that's a good point.
We're not talking about that. My point is... Never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. He got you too good.
He did. You need to stop coming to this show.
Yeah.
You're bad.
I'll never be back at this theater again.
Yeah, I think your point was it's actually not that good of a comic.
Disagree.
And then, yeah. That was
this is a great discussion, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and that's it for the stack. Yeah. Guys, woo! It's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because I get to come out to you guys. It's your audience questions. And for that, you can ask anything of our amazing guests over here. For Pete, not for me. Don't ask me questions. I'm not going to answer them. But you'll get some free comics when you do. So there you go. Let's raise your hand. You, sir, right there. Hello. You're the guy that I normally torture every show, right? What's your name?
It's Rolando.
I'm sorry, what?
Rolando.
Rolando.
I don't understand. It's Rolando.
Rondell?
That's close.
Okay, great. What's your question?
So this is more for you and Pete, but Jordan's here a lot. So
sure. I told you I'm not answering questions.
What are you going to miss the most about Fontanas?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You.
Well, hopefully he'll be going to the news spot with us.
Yeah, no. We're going to be doing the show.
I'm going to miss the drink tickets.
Sure.
I'm going to miss, I'm going to miss Marshall, our bartender.
Yeah.
The guy's got a heart of gold. Not the fastest bartender, but the nicest.
Hey.
That's for sure.
Hey, chill it out, dude.
Hey, we've talked about it.
Make it public.
Hey.
I'm going to miss the funky... pop culture paintings on the wall.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
they're weird, but they're fun.
I'm going to miss the red, weird porno lighting.
Yeah. I'm going to miss. Do you remember when we installed that chandelier that was going to fall and crash and kill the audience in the last show that we did here?
Yeah.
I'm going to miss that chandelier.
I'm going to miss that chandelier.
Oh, boy.
Man.
Don't get nervous.
It's
you guys.
Too bad
no,
we
it's
gave
cool.
the, No, we gave the trigger to Justin, so he's
yeah,
not here.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Eggplant rollatini.
I'm going to miss walking past the terrible fish smell on the way here.
Yeah.
Cool.
I guess we're not going to miss it that much, so there you go. No, Fontana's, we've been here, it's over 2 years? How long?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's been a long time. They've been an awesome host for the show. We've been very excited to have it here, so we're definitely going to miss performing on the show here, but look forward to wherever the next venue is. So there you go. Thank you for your question. Yep. All right, let's get another question. You, sir, I'm going to come over to you, but I can't stretch the microphone very far, so you're going to have to meet me halfway because, oh God, the microphones are all stuck together. All right, what's your name, sir?
Andrew.
All right, Andrew, what's your question?
So New York Comic Con's coming up. I'm wondering who's going, and is there anything cool happening there?
Hey, Andrew. Nobody's going, and nope. Thanks for question.
Yeah.
No. There's a ton of stuff going on. Jordan, what are you looking forward to?
Let's see. Well, I'll definitely be there probably every day, but I'm not 100% sure what panels I'll be on, if any, which is weird. But there's a whole bunch of great Marvel panels, and I do know they're making some great announcements there. What other cool stuff? Like, I'm trying to think of other just cool stuff I happen to know about. There are three night shows that are at night, which I'm going to guess are probably not sold out, that I'm fans of, that I will promote for them just for fun. One is on Thursday night, the podcast, the Star Wars Minute, is doing a special live show where they talk about the Ewoks Caravan of Courage movie. So that should be fun. And then Friday night is a Thrilling Adventure Hour Sparks Nevada special somewhere in Brooklyn. And then Saturday night, Thrilling Adventure Hour is having a Beyond Belief show at the Bell House. And those are going to be super awesome. And I don't think I can go to any of them, so everybody else should go to them in my place.
Nice.
Josh, what are you looking forward to?
On Friday night, we're going to go see the premiere of The Walking Dead, the new season. Yeah, it'll be
Madison
Square Garden. It'll be
That's
fun.
Crazy. It's crazy
what?
That they're doing there. Yeah,
showing it at MSG. So, oh my God.
And it's like, it's sold out. It's a big thing. We have VIP tickets, so we're going to be living it up. I brought a tie.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Did you really? You're going to get dressed up?
I'm going to wear a tie for the. Yeah.
Wait, I'm going to go. I'm gonna also going to be in the VIP area. Do I have to get dressed up?
Yes.
You do now, yeah.
No? You wear, right, it said, like, tie. You had to wear a tie.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, shit. All right. Okay, fine. I will say, I saw the episode. It's great. It's really, really good. I won't say anything more about it other than it is going to play so well in Madison Square Garden. Like, it's definitely, it's the biggest scope of anything they've ever done on the show.
Oh, wow.
And I actually talked to Greg Nicotero on the phone for an interview for my day job the other day, asked him if they formatted for that, and he was like, no, we absolutely didn't, but it's definitely like, it plays like a movie, so it's going to be
insane. Yeah, the next day, I'm on a panel with, it's just me and Robert on the Nerdist stage talking about horror stuff and Walking Dead, so I think that'll be fun to do. No one's going to ask me questions. It's going to be all about Robert, but still, I'm just going to be like, I like Walking Dead.
Yeah, you'll get one question. You'll get one. It'll be all good.
It'll be you.
It'll be me. I'll be like, I have a question. What's it like to hang out next to Robert?
You're a ghost. that's cool. And he's very funny, and he has a good laugh, and he has a good humor about stuff.
Yeah. What are you looking
forward to? He whispers to himself sometimes. He says things under his breath, and if you're close, you can hear it. And he says the funniest stuff under his breath.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm looking forward to the booth where they hand out the free high chews.
Oh, Jesus
that
Christ,
is the
Pete.
Best. I mean, there's free high chews.
There are.
It's usually like $2 for a pack.
Do you know there are food conventions? Like, you can go to conventions that are only about food. I bet
do
you
they
go,
give out free high chews at these conventions?
They give out free food at these conventions.
I don't think that's true.
I'm just saying, I feel like you would go to a food convention and be like, where's the comic book booth?
Aren't they premiering the X-Files, the new X-Files at the
moment? They
are. Oh, man.
What do you guys think? Is that going to be good or what? You think it's going to be good?
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
I mean, if you look historically, like, there's been, if you go backwards in time, there was a pretty bad movie, a really bad movie, two bad seasons of the show. But then before that, it was really good.
Right.
No, so I think historically, there's a good chance this will be good.
The first movie came out like between seasons like 5 and 6 or something.
Weird. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, still.
Yeah, judgy. Yeah.
You're right. I'm sorry.
So it's more complicated than that.
Yes.
I think if they thought that they were never going to do it again, right? If they really were like, we're never going to have X-Files ever again, let's just go balls out, like, you know. It would be good, because then they could just do whatever they want. They're always trying to hold on to whatever secrets.
See, but I'll be honest with you, that's why I'm a little worried about it, because I feel like in the last season, they did think they were never going to do X-Files again, and they did crazy stuff that, like, now they're undoing. Like, they killed off a bunch of characters, and they're like, they're not that dead.
Oh, they're bringing him back.
Yeah.
They're not that dead.
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Well. That'll
be good. Well, maybe he'll start channeling, like, Californication.
Oh.
And it'll, like, change it up a little bit. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Californication was awesome.
As long as there's a sequel to Californication, it'll be all good. Good question. I think we can take another one. You, sir, over here. Come on up. All right, what's your name, sir?
I'm Paul.
Hey, Paul, what's your question?
Hey, I have a couple of Illuminati questions.
I'll see what I can do.
Hey, how did you decide on Titania being the POV character? And B, with Enchantress being in the title, any chance of Jane Foster showing up?
You have to ask me all the questions I can't answer. I would love to have Jane Foster because I love that book. And actually, Jason Aaron's Thor book is kind of what led to Titania being in the book. When we were building the team together, originally it was going to be all the Hood. Like, the Hood was going to be the POV character. It was all going to be about him. And then when I added Titania, she kind of came in a little bit later. And it was just in the process of writing it and doing the outline and developing the story that I started realizing that she was sort of taking over. Like, it came very organically. It wasn't a decision. It wasn't something that I was like, Titania's the main character. It wasn't that Marvel said, Titania's the main character. It came as I was writing it and breaking it down that I was like, oh, she's the main character. She's the POV character. And if you go back and read Jason Aaron's run, I think it's issue 3 or 4, she has that run-in with Thor. And the conversation they have is sort of what spun out like my motivation to have that. But I love the Jane Foster Thor, so we'll see. But with Titania, she's been really a great character to write, and she just kind of just took over, you know, and just started, I don't know, running that direction, and I'm really thankful that we did.
What's the rest of the team that's revealed right now?
I mean, it's already been revealed. It's the Hood, Enchantress, Mad Thinker, Titania, Black Ant, and Thunderball. And Black Ant's awesome to write too. He's a little messed up in the head ever since he came back.
Hey, you're like referencing all your mentors there because there's a Kirkman character.
Oh, there's a Kirkman character too. Yeah, I think if I broke it down, it would be all. There's all kinds of stuff in there.
Awesome. Cool. Can we take
one more
question? All right, we can take one more question. You, sir, right over there. All right, what's your name?
Bach.
Hey, Bach.
All right. So with people saying that there's always going to be one movie that bursts the comic book movie bubble, what character do you think that would be in a... I guess you could pick a creative team behind it, too. Director, writer.
All right, so you think... What character is going to burst the bubble? Like, what character is going
to... I don't know. Fantastic Four?
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
That already happened.
No, it's funny. I was talking about this on a... panel last night at New York Super Week. We were talking about like the span of superhero movies over the past 30 or 40 years or something like that. And I don't think anything's really going to burst the bubble. What's going to happen is you see things change every decade or so. It's a little rough. Sometimes it's 8 years, sometimes it's 12 years. But the way that they approach comic book movies is very different. You look at X-Men and Blade, and then all the way to the Marvel movies, there's a stark difference from X-Men and Blade that set this idea of we got to be grim and gritty and, in quotes, realistic, to Marvel movies where like, nope, we can have a little color if you like. I mean, maybe that would be nice. And then we're headed to something else is basically what's happening. And I think the mark is going to be the end of Infinity War. Not that everything's going to go downhill after that, but Marvel has been setting the pace. So whatever they do next, as long as they continue at the head, that's going to lead the way into whatever the next iteration is. So if it is shitty movies, that might be the thing. But if it's also going back to grim and gritty or some new reinvention, that's what we're going to see around 2019. That's my thought.
The theory is maybe we'll move into an era where people like shitty movies now.
Yeah. Or just we go back to having shitty comic book movies, or there's one that sporadically hits every once in a while rather than all of them.
You're right, Jordan. I do hope Marvel starts making shitty movies, you know? Like, give other companies a chance. Like,
no.
Come on, Marvel.
Who's making... See, I don't know who's rumored for all like the DC movies and stuff. Who's making the Aquaman movie? Do we know yet?
We only know that Jason Momoa is Aquaman in it.
Yeah. Like,
That's not going to happen, though. Let's be honest, right?
I don't know. He looks like the perfect Aquaman, though.
What? Sure.
Yeah.
That's great. You should cosplay as Aquaman at Comic-Con.
Are you making a joke?
No, I mean, he looks like a great Aquaman.
You're making a joke.
Okay. Apparently,
I am. He looks like as good of an Aquaman as, I don't know, the Wolverine from the Wolverine movies?
Oh.
Who is, like, a little too tall and you
He's
freak out?
He's way too tall, you son of a bitch. Wolverine's supposed to be short. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah. I mean, what's going to happen is I don't think Batman v Superman isn't going to tank. I don't think Suicide Squad is going to tank. They're both going to do really, really well, so you're not going to see the end of superhero movies then. Beyond that, who knows what's going to happen with the DC Universe? You might have other movies that pop. You may not. They could definitely course correct. Honestly, it's the same thing with Marvel. That's definitely not going to happen as well, but like, the movies start going downhill, everything does like Ant-Man or lower, they can pivot. They can be like, oop, just kidding, we're going to do Avengers Infinity War in one part. You know, they can always change their mind with this stuff. And same thing with the X-Men universe. They have Deadpool is definitely happening.
Can't wait.
What?
Can't wait.
Yeah, X-Men Apocalypse is definitely happening. But beyond that, who even honestly knows? So they can pivot. They can change. Yeah. Things can be different 5, 10 years from now, so who knows?
I think they're aware. I mean, they're aware that could be a problem, so they're planning for it. Like, they're not stupid people. They're not sitting there being like, there's no bubble. It will never happen. Yeah. We're just going to wing it. Like, I think they're trying to at least put out good stuff. Like, my concern would be more about somebody there being, you know what, I think if it, I don't know. I don't want to, like, predict anything, but you can tell when things start to take a wrong turn when they start to rush things, like, really rush things. It doesn't seem like they're really rushing anything right now. It seems like there is a plan in place, and they're not being reactive, right? Like, they're not doing stuff because of things yet. I feel like if they start making decisions based on, like, other stuff that have nothing to do with what they've been doing, that's where maybe something could happen. But even then, it's like, I don't know. I feel like they're planning around it, you know? Like, they're aware. Nobody wants to lose money.
I think to answer your question, though, it's going to be the Penance/Speedball 3-hour documentary that's going to ruin
Documentary, because it's a real thing that happened.
Yeah. They're going to film it like it's a documentary
about
him.
Is it Morgan Spurlock? Like, somebody has to be in there for 30 days?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to be Speedball for...
Yeah, it's like Super Size Me, but he lives in a pain suit for 30 days. Perfect. I would actually watch that, and I think it would do very well. Thank you for your question, and that's it for your audience questions!
Yay.
All right, guys, real quick, we are going to bang through Week in Geek. Yay. And in Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some pop culture topics, which, let's be honest, at this point is just TV shows because there is so much comic book TV on. Yeah. Season finale of Fear the Walking Dead. What'd you think, Pete?
That was all right.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I constantly went back and forth between like, no, this is a good show, to like, I don't really like it. But I just felt like it was pretty decent. I wasn't like really excited about it. I was hoping it would kind of deal with the kind of government, like, outside the fence, inside the fence issue a little bit more. But like, I don't know. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great.
Did you guys watch the show?
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. I actually thought it was great. Loved watching it. I thought it was really thoughtful, really well acted, really well shot. I really liked the season finale a lot, and I think it addressed a lot of the criticisms that people had.
You think it's important to, like, when there's a zombie apocalypse, go to, like, a really nice house that's on top of a cliff that would be a perfect place to, like, stake out and live, but then let's just have a conversation by the water or by the rocks and be like, we should shoot this girl. No, we shouldn't shoot this girl. Hey, there's a boat out there. Who cares? Like, that's a good idea.
They're going to go to the boat next season.
Well, I just...
They're going to go to the boat.
I feel like there was a...
Don't you want to see zombies on a boat? Here's the thing.
Swimming zombies.
On a... What?
Swimming zombies.
Yeah, swimming zombies. They're on a boat with zombies. There are other zombies on the boat. Those zombies are trying to board their boat. There are zombie pirates next season. That's crazy.
That's your ultimate goal. You want it
in
to be
life.
Like zombies on a boat, zombies on a plane, zombies flying helicopters.
They're doing zombies on a plane.
Great.
Yeah, it's that's running awesome. During Walking Dead. There's a Fear of the Walking Dead.
Oh, that's right. It's a web yeah. thing. Yeah, you're right. That's funny.
Yeah, so there you go.
I thought you were joking at first. And nope. then I was like, I never no, wait, that is real.
Is Samuel L. Jackson in it? And he's going to stand up and yeah. go, I'm sick and tired of these...
Finish what you wanted to say. All right, let's. There was also a new episode of Gotham where they finally, big spoilers, finished off their proto Joker storyline. Yeah. What'd you think of that? About
Gotham has been really like you said, they came out of the box, were super crazy this season, and they are keeping it full throttle. It's been insane since the start, and this. I've been loving it.
My favorite part of this season so far is how thirsty Alfred is. Alfred is, like, it's ridiculous. Last episode, it was Lucius Fox, where he sidled up to a bar, and he's, like, growling at Lucius Fox, and Lucius Fox is growling back at him, and he's buying him drinks and clearly flirting with him.
Yeah.
And then this episode, it was Leslie Tompkins, who goes up and is basically, like, essentially almost steals her away from Jim Gordon.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, he's got to get his bone on. That's a technical term.
Thank you. Alfred's got some issues in this series. Yeah. And they're, I don't know, I've always been so used to Alfred being the Rock, so it's weird to see him be...
So hard?
Oh, God. What have I done?
Yeah, you walked right into that one. Literally. All right, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Was also on. Have you guys been keeping up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I watched the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What'd you think?
Yeah. I thought it was fun. I mean, it seems like we're going to get into more superpowers this season and more like, you know.
I think that show has finally hit what it was supposed to be, which is a Saturday afternoon show, and I mean that in the best way, where it's
what
like...
What does that mean?
They used to run these ridiculous sci-fi shows where it was just like adventure shows, like Stargate or Star Trek Next Generation or anything like that, where it was on in the afternoon, you'd come home and be like, oh, this is fun. And that's what the show is. That
like
you
a
watch.
Sam Raimi TV show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Hercules, Xena, all of that. Xena, all that stuff, and there's something a little deeper always, and the sense of humor is really good, but it's fun.
I've seen
tonight's episode as well, which if you are a Fitzsimmons shipper, which hopefully most of you are, you are going to freak
what?
Out.
What? In a good way?
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, fuck you.
But it's great. But fuck I think like you. They finally figured out the relationships. There's really funny jokes.
I'm
humor.
Not
good
letting
action.
You leave this place until
sure.
you fucking...
Sure, I'll tell you off the show. Heroes Reborn, is that still on?
It is.
Great. All right, moving on. The
you
Flash
should check
comes
it
back.
Out. It's great.
I'd rather not. The
come
Flash.
Come on, check it out.
No,
give it
I'm
a
good.
Chance.
Thank you.
Why won't you watch it?
No, I'm good.
What? Come on! What?
Save the trailer later. I don't have time. The Flash is back tonight as well.
Woo!
Super exciting.
Yay.
I swear I'll stop doing this, but I've seen that episode too. And, sorry.
Boo.
No.
Yeah!
Well,
yeah, you're getting booed.
What?
You're getting booed.
No, I'm pretty sure they're saying woo.
Nope. They're saying boo.
No, I think...
They're finally acknowledging you're abusing your power.
Yeah, are they saying boo words? Because that would also be confusing. It's great. It's really good. It really doesn't miss a beat from the first season. Comes right back.
Does it pick up right where it left off?
No.
Good.
Fuck that.
No.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Fuck that.
No, that's good. The ending was... weird.
It was
the
weird, but you
was
got,
amazing.
You can't leave that weird I, fucking
here's
ending
the thing.
With you running up into a fucking torn...
Pete.
What?
They don't pick up there, but I'm not going to say they leave that ending unfinished.
Okay, good.
Right. Yeah. You'll see it. It's great. The show's great. That show is like
awesome.
My heart
so
leaping
good.
Out of my chest most of the time.
How about Arrow? Have you seen Arrow?
I have not seen Arrow.
What the fuck?
But I'll tell you what happens in the last scene of the premiere episode if you want to know.
Are you going to spoil it right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I'll just spoil it real quick.
Sure.
Okay, that's it for the week. Geek. All right, guys, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because my best friend Pete LePage makes it up.
You.
It's time for trivia with Pete LePage.
All right, guys, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. Who would like an opportunity to win $25 free? Oh, my God, a lot of hands up. You've won too many times. All right, you were second hand up guy. Come on. Sorry, guys. Right. He beat you with the hand up. All right, here,
you
stand
go.
Over
come
here.
Come on over here.
Sure. All right. What is your name, sir?
My name's Paul.
Paul, audience, Paul.
Hey.
All right, so Paul, How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, you win $25. Okay. Since Loki was cut out of Age of Ultron because he was said to have stolen the movie if he was in it, today's character spotlight is on Loki. So, Loki has been a part of what team? Is it A, Young Avengers, B, Fantastic Four, or C, man, I can't wait for the new season of Arrow? So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or it's B, Fantastic Four.
Well, I really can't wait for the next season of Arrow, but I'm going to say A.
Yeah, Paul, I'm glad to hear it. Congratulations. Okay. Loki has many powers, including blank. Is it A, adamantium claws, B, shape-shifting, or is it C, man, I can't wait for the new season of Flash?
Again, C is true, but I'm going to go with B.
B is correct. Nice job. All right. Loki is part blank. Is it A, part frost giant, B, part-time lover, or is it C, man, I hope the new season of S.H.I.E.L.D. is halfway decent and I'll be satisfied. It's just got to be halfway decent. So it's either A, which is the only one that makes freaking sense.
It's A.
A is correct. Paul, congratulations. $25 free for you, sir.
Unbelievable. Pete, I particularly like the move where you handed him the gift card before he had answered the last question.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I had confidence in Paul.
Yeah, and that was a gift card to Midtown Comics, right?
That's right, because
Midtown Comics sells comics, right?
They do.
Yeah, well, tomorrow is new comic book day.
Oh, wow.
So you should go to Midtown Comics.
Yeah, they are a fantastic comic book shop.
They're a wonderful local mom-and-pop comic book shop.
I don't know if they're mom-and-pop anymore, but they are a great comic book shop.
Yeah, well, okay, maybe just lots of pops.
All right.
Lots of pops.
I'm looking forward to, thank you for asking, what's coming out next week.
No problem. Tomorrow?
Yep. Yeah, that's what I meant to
say.
That's
this week.
Xcend number one.
Oh.
And also Doctor Strange number one.
What is Xcend number one?
It's a really cool comic by Image where it's about somebody who plays video games so much they kind of get sucked into the video game a little bit. And I like this idea of like not knowing when real life starts and the video game ends type of thing. Because like we've all played video games for so long, and then all of a sudden you go into the real world, and you're like, oh, man, I want to punch that guy in the face and then take his car and drive off.
And that's when he was playing Tetris. Cool. So, I'm looking forward to Omega Man number 5 is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, that's been amazing.
I was really, really bummed when I heard that title was being canceled, but it turns out that they're actually going to let them finish the story, which is super
cool. Fans win.
Seriously, if you are not reading that book, pick it up. It's one of the most unique books that DC is putting out right now. Yeah. It's an awesome sci-fi story, incredibly structured by Tom King and company. I don't want to spoil anything about it, but even if you know nothing about the DC universe, you can get right into it. It's nice. Josh, what are you looking
for me, Doctor Strange number one.
Hell yeah.
It's coming out. And then Paper Girls number one from Image. It was Brian K. Vaughan.
Oh.
And Cliff Chang. And then I have another issue of Nailbiter out tomorrow. Yeah. And then two What Ifs I'm doing come out tomorrow.
Oh, cool. Nice. Yeah, you got a big day tomorrow.
It's like, what if, I keep forgetting. Yeah, it's what if Thanos joined the Avengers? And then what if Black Bolt was king of the world?
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Like
both
in Titanic.
Both of those I would check out.
Yeah, fun. What's that?
Like in Titanic. It's like a Titanic.
Yeah, thing. He does that exact pose.
Cool, yeah, right there.
I'm looking forward to the new issue of Southern Bastards comes out.
Oh, it's been a while, man. I can't wait to hear it.
It has been a while, and it's a great, great comic. Every issue of it is so good. It keeps getting better. I mean, I don't know. Like when you read the first couple issues, you are like, okay, I think I know where this is going.
Nope. No, you do not.
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, that it's almost written to mess with you a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Speaking of Jason Aaron, like I said, he's got a Star Wars issue coming out tomorrow. Darth Vader comes out tomorrow. Yeah. Like I said, the last issue of Lando and the next issue of Shattered Empire. In addition, I just noticed the first trade collection of Star Wars and the first trade collection of Darth Vader both come out tomorrow as well.
Wow, that's a lot of Star Wars.
Yeah, that is a lot of Star Wars. Those are both great collections. If you haven't checked them out, check them out. They are great companions for each other. They go like weave in and out of each other. They're great.
And then can I also quickly plug that I have another podcast that I'm on called Sailor Business, which is all about me and Chris Sims look at every episode of Sailor Moon one at a time. We're like 50 episodes in. It's really awesome. We're now just starting, actually, season 2 of Sailor Moon. Love it. SailorBusiness.com.
Awesome. Man. You got a .com?
Yeah.
That's great. So it's commercial. Fancy. It's not like one of those nonprofit Sailor Moon
podcasts.
It is
basically nonprofit. I mean, it's nonprofit except for the people I pay to make it happen.
All right.
So they profit off of it.
All right. Fair enough. I'm looking forward to checking that out. A couple of other things to check out. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Check out our website, comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Emma Bell, Tyra Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Josh for being on the show.
Yeah!
Jordan! Tom on
Tech!
Woo! Definitely like to thank everybody at Fontanas. Thank you so much for having us here the past couple of years. You guys have been amazing. For those of you listening at home or in the audience, we will be back next week.
Yep.
And we will be back every single week. You can't get rid of us. I'm very sorry. But stay tuned for our new venue. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Good night. Hi, Scott in L.A. Hope you're doing all right, buddy.